If you will turn to Ephesians chapter 4. I don't know if I would have appreciated this illustration before I was married because I'm equating marriage and salvation, so it's totally wrong theologically, but it's an interesting concept. When I was a bachelor, there's interesting different things I did. Life was different. Mike, my brother-in-law, and I were talking about the amount of hot dogs we ate. Hot dogs are good, but I don't think you should live off of them. That's not a good thing. I was able to fry an egg on a George Foreman grill. That's hard to do because the George Foreman grill tilts, and you have to take something and try to keep it even, and then you're not supposed to do that. But as a bachelor, you do those sorts of things. Now I'm married. I actually eat real food. There's these things called vegetables. Sometimes they taste good, too. It's amazing. If I did the things that I used to do when I was a bachelor, I think I would be in trouble a little bit. I still sometimes do some of the same things. But 2 a.m., playing Quelf in Denny's. It was quite interesting. That's a board game that has you leapfrog over people and different... I don't think Denny's liked us. But we did a lot of things like that. I think if Bianca, if she came home and saw me frying a hot dog and the egg on the George Foreman grill, I'd be in trouble. But that was my old life. I'm a new self. The old has passed away. There's a lot of new. Yet still sometimes I go, and especially when Bianca's out of town, I go out with the guys again, and we play those board games, and I stay out late at Denny's. But that's part of the old. There's something new, and it's better. I don't want to live as a bachelor. I don't want that. In Ephesians 4, Paul's saying this. He's saying, "Therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called." Walk differently than you walked before. You're no longer walking as the Gentiles walk, your former life. That's not what you are. That's not the way you should live. You're different. There's something different. And he goes, we talked last week about that new self, putting away how bad the old self was, how darkened, how it's totally corrupt. The mind is corrupt. Everything's corrupt. There's nothing there. It's empty. It's vain. And we have this new life and this new self. We're living for God. And God has created us new creatures. And yet we go and we're living for Christ, and someday we'll be like him in heaven. And all that sin will be passed away, and we're trying to live the new self, yet still sometimes the old self pulls on us. And Paul gave the big picture in the last few verses, and now he's getting to specifics. Verse 25, the specifics. And when you go up and you get married and you stand in front of the pastor, which I didn't care, it was a relative, so... But when you stand in front of the pastor and you say, "I do," you're making a commitment, and you're in a new life. You're married. And everything changes in a lot of ways. There's also specifics that new life has. Things change. Your bathroom counter and counters, makeup and things. I don't know what the things are in the bathroom. They're everywhere. There's specifics to being married, right? There's different specific things that change your life. As a Christian, there's specific things that we should do. Specifics that change. And Paul's basically getting a little bit down to the nitty-gritty. He gave the big picture in the following previous verses, and is getting more specific at verse 25 of chapter 4. So that's what I'm taking you to, some of the specifics of what the new life looks like. And he says, this is the old man that is put away. This is gone. This is already gone. This is the new self. What does it say? So let's pray, and we'll get into the scripture. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for the new life you've given us, the salvation you've provided for us. Help us to yield ourselves to you, yield ourselves to righteousness, be renewed in the spirit of our minds. Help us not to live the old life, but to live for you. Help us to be awake and paying attention this morning and striving to understand what your word says. In your name, amen. Verse 25 says, Therefore, because of this, because your old life's past, your new life is this, the new self is this, therefore, having put away all falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Put away all falsehood. This is part of the old life we have given up. It's put away. It's already there. It's the unregenerate falsehood of the non-Christian life, the lost life. We need to get rid of that. Falsehood is part of the non-Christians, just their whole life. If you deal with high schoolers, there's so much lying among the high school. Going into a high school, everybody's fake. Everybody's this thing. Everybody has to put on a cloak of hypocrisy. They have to be a certain thing. Even today, when you go to work, you have that person you sit by, and you say hi, and they say hi, and they say, oh, you want to go to lunch sometime? Oh, let's get coffee. And then you find out the other day, they're telling your boss that you didn't get such and such done and stabbing you in the back, right? You've probably worked with people like that. It's that falsehood. It's that lying. It's that hypocrisy. That's not us. We're not that. And Paul is talking here about Christians, at the relationships we have as a group. We, as a church, that shouldn't be us. We walk into this church, we're not sitting there going, this is my facade. This is what I look like here. We live in truth. This is who I am. This is the truth of who I am. I'm not a hypocrite. Right? Put away the falsehood that's part of the old life, that's not us, that's not misrepresenting who you are, that's not lying and just that face, that mask. We're the family of God, and we're true to one another. We live in truth. Speak the truth. What does that mean? It's a lot of negatives. It's not lying. It's not trying to be something you're not. It's not trying to manipulate. It's not trying to make yourself look better. It's loving. Speak the truth. And the truth does not mean you're not a nice person. Some people think, well, I'm speaking the truth because I'll walk up to you and tell you that that hairstyle is the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. That's not what it's talking about. It's not talking about your wife coming up to you and saying, how does this dress look, or how does this hair look, and going, well, you know, that's not what it's talking about. Love, truth, get rid of hypocrisy, get rid of that falsehood, stop lying. We as a community of believers should be open and honest with each other. We should love each other. We should speak the truth. For we are members of one another. We are members together. We are united in truth. We are the body of Christ. If your foot's lying to your brain, you can't walk. Right? It doesn't work. You have to work together. The body of Christ has to work together. It doesn't work if one thing's saying falsehood, one thing's saying truth, and everything's firing wrong. Your body doesn't work right. I just changed a sensor on a car. It's interesting because when cars used to be pretty honest, you look at a car, you know, it has spark, it has fuel, okay, I can go. At this point, they decided to put a computer in the car. And now they have sensors everywhere to tell you if there's fuel or spark. And the problem with that is all the sensors lie to you constantly. And they have to be replaced constantly. And I think it's a scam by mechanics. Because just the sensors go bad. And they lie. And then your computer says, well, I have to change how the car is running because the sensors are lying to me and the car doesn't run right. As members of the body of Christ, if we lie to one another, it doesn't run right. We're members together. Put away falsehood. There's freedom in putting away falsehood and being truthful. I don't believe you should share everything with everybody. It's not a good idea. But isn't there freedom when you're talking to a good friend you can trust and you know who loves you? And you can talk about what's going on in your life and share and get encouragement and edified, and you are who you are with them. That's a nice, sweet thing. We're a family, the body of Christ. How do we treat each other? And Paul's saying, put away the falsehood. Speak the truth with one another. You're members together. What are we like? Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. The purpose of this, there's a lot of controversy on this verse. So I guess I'll start with that. But the purpose is not an excuse or a command for us to be angry. It's not even, in my opinion, a commentary on the possibility of righteous anger. That's not what Paul's emphasis is. That's not, grammatically I can explain it, but it's basically the idea of sometimes you're angry. Especially in regard to verse 31, which we'll get to later, where it says, get rid of anger. But if you're angry, and sometimes we are angry, be careful that this does not lead to sin. Anger leads to sin. We have a tendency when we sit and someone we think does us wrong or someone does something to us that we don't like or we see something that we think is, you know, not the right way. We dwell on it and it consumes us and we become bitter and we become angry. And it leads to all sorts of sin. And that body of Christ falls apart. For me, customer service, calling customer service up, that's what drives me to anger sometimes. And I better not do it at night, because if I do it at night, Bianca will say, Lee, you know, because it bothers me. It frustrates me so much. And if it consumes me, what happens? If we do that with one another, what happens to the body? Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Don't indulge it. Don't feed it. If you've ever been in a fight with a teen, or marriage fights, or there's a lot of different fights, but it's interesting watching parents and teens once they're getting to the older ages and the teen giving the last 15, 16 years of faults the parents have committed against them. Why? Indulging your anger, the bitterness. What happens if I go up to Joe over here and we start talking, and he does something a little bit off, and then I start fighting with him, and then I just lay into him and let everybody else know how evil he is, because, you know, 3 years ago, Joe, you cut me off. Yeah, it was you. And I'm bitter. If you do that, what does that do to the body of Christ? How is that the new self? It doesn't work, right? That's not the new life in Christ. That's the old self. That's done. That's gone. That's not who we are. We're a new creation. We're something different. That's gone. What are you supposed to do if you have a problem with a brother? Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Anger does no good. James says it this way, "Know this, my beloved brother, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God." That's not the solution to get angry. In marriage, is it the solution to get angry at your wife or husband? No. How does that work? It doesn't. How does it work to maintain the bitterness and bring up faults from 3 or 4 or 5 years ago? It doesn't work. A marriage doesn't work that way. Doesn't work because it's the old life, the old self, the old way. We are a new creation in Christ. Don't let anger become bitterness. Deal with the issue. Get rid of the anger. Sometimes it's a matter of confrontation because maybe there's sin and you need to confront sin. But you're confronting not for the purpose of I'm angry, but the purpose of restoration and doing it in the right way. If you confront someone in an angry spirit, how will that go? Very badly. Sometimes it's just a matter of love and forgiveness and going, you know, who cares? Because it's no big deal. It's care. It's love. We love each other. The new self is characterized by love. You are new in Christ, and your life should be characterized by love of one another. If you watch a young couple, we've had a few marriages the last year or two. It's fun to watch. If you watch the young couples, sometimes they fight. And it's funny to watch them fight. I've been called an instigator at one point because it's kind of funny to watch the conversations they go through. But there's so much in love that it's like, oh, it's okay. And they forgive each other and they move on, right? Because they're so much in love with each other, it all works out. It all, you know, it's fixed. We should have that type of love, that just so much caring and so much love for one another that we don't let the sun go down on our wrath. If the issue is not dealt with, you get a festering wound. I will not do an illustration with that, but yeah, it grows bitterness, anger. The problem with anger is a lot of times we are the priority, not God, not others. We justify ourselves. We even say, this is righteous anger. The new self does not want to give the devil an opportunity. Don't give the devil an opportunity to get in and basically mess you up. The devil is probably celebrating all the churches, all the friendships, all the marriages he has split up because of anger. It's like, yeah, I got another one. Don't let anger control you and become part of you. Get rid of it. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Verse 28, let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Theft and stealing is part of the old life. Understand, context here, you're talking a lot of converted slaves. Could you imagine being a slave and sitting there and maybe you don't have enough to eat sometimes? Stealing bread here, stealing whatever there, making your way because that's what everybody else does. And for us, we go, well, that's justified. You know, they were being treated badly. They needed to take a little. No. It's part of the old life. theft and stealing is part of the old life. The new self is different. That's gone. Honest work, good work, is what's right. It is important for people to work. If you have any counseling classes, biblical counseling classes, it's interesting because one of the things they take you through is when you're, when you're talking to someone and they're depressed, they come in depressed, find out what they're doing. And a lot of times they're not working and they're not busy. And one of the best ways to stop having that feeling of everything's worthless is to get to work. Do. Because work is a good thing. Why should we work? What is most people's motivation to work? So we have money so we can buy more things. So we have security. Even so you feel good about yourself. Hey, look what I did. The old self is focused on these things because the old self is focused on me. The new self is focused on something totally different. It's focused on God and others. Why? Why would you want to stop stealing and start getting a job and working hard? Paul says, so that you may have something to share with someone who doesn't have as much, so you can help. Isn't that an amazing motivation for work? I have rarely met someone who said, you know, I'm going to take that job. It's a little bit harder. It'll give me a raise, but I really want a raise so I can help someone else. That's not usually why someone's going for the raise. The first thought with a bonus is, what can I buy? Or this will be a nice little cushion in the bank. Imagine being excited about working overtime so you can share with those in need. The point, there's wisdom, there's a lot of issues on money, of wisdom and to helping your family and a lot of things, but the point Paul's trying to make here, where's our heart? Is our heart changed? Our mind should be renewed. The new self is not looking at me, 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 me. It's looking at others. It's looking at God. It's looking in love. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. The rotten talk, bad language, filthy conversation, inappropriate conversations, it encompasses all of that. It's rotten, bad talk. And we go, well, we wouldn't do that in church. Expand that, because rotten talk encompasses more than that. It encompasses slander, backbiting, and gossip. Oh, that's part of the old self too? Yeah. That's not the new self. That's not what we are in Christ. That was the old life. We're something new. In Matthew 12, Christ says, on the day of judgment, people will give an account of every careless word they speak. James 3 talks about the tongue is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. What do we say? It is very, very difficult to control the tongue. It is so dangerous. We can do so much harm with just a couple words. Rotten speech is everywhere. The work life, there's gossip everywhere. It's sad. The conversations you hear on TV, on movies, it shouldn't be here. This should not be a gossipy, slanderous place. Why? We're Christians. Isn't that awesome? We have the new self. We're living the new life. Christ has saved us. We're pursuing Him. We're new creation. It's not us anymore. You are freed from this life of sin. What should we say? And this is what's great. Read this passage again, because I don't have tons of time to develop it. But read the negative. Paul's saying, the negative's passed away. I don't focus so much on the negative this week. Focus on the positive. What should you be doing? You should be speaking that which edifies. How can I edify someone? Dad talked about edification, the foundation of Scripture. being a huge part of that. You need to bleed Scripture, basically. Scripture needs to be so much a part of your life, who you are, that in your conversation, your edification, Scripture's just pouring out. Love is just pouring out of who you are. What should we say? What builds up the body of Christ? What fits the occasion? What gives grace to those who hear it? What helps those who hear it? All of us probably remember words of grace that have come at certain points in our lives, and just how happy that made us and how encouraged that was. Even if it was a good friend who gave us words of grace and part of that was confrontation, it's still just the awesomeness of that. We also probably remember the people who have come up to us in life and have torn us down. We should be building each other up. Edify. Ask yourself, how can I edify others in my conversation and give grace in what I say? How can I live out the new self with what I say? How can I make sure when I'm walking down the street, if I run into a brother in Christ, I can give words that edify? How can I edify my wife? How can I edify my husband? How can I edify my kids? How can I encourage them? How can we edify? How can we build up? Verse 30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are sealed with a seal. This is a theological concept. Paul talks about in Ephesians 1, verse 13, we are sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. We are God's children. We are a new creation. We are God's kids. Isn't that awesome? You're a child of God if you're a Christian. You're changed. We are sealed for Him. Imagine the grief you cause when you let the old self show itself, when you say things that are rotten, when you do things that are evil. You grieve the Holy Spirit. I know a lot of you have kids. The grief that comes when your child does something wrong. We are God's kids. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Kids say horrible things and it hurts. And I think the Holy Spirit, even worse, it cringes. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice. Get rid of it. Get it out of your life. Just stop it. Get rid of it. Examine yourself this week. Get rid of it. What should you have? Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God and Christ forgave you. Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, slander, malice. Bitterness poisons our hearts. Wrathful passions guide our conversations and attitudes to each other sometimes. We let anger take root. We clamor like an angry kid who does not get his way. We slander and we speak evil from the sinfulness of our hearts. Malice ends up controlling us. All of that is past. The old self. It's done with. This is not us anymore. We're saved. Don't live in the past. What should you put on? What does the new self look like? Kindness and tenderheartedness. I like Harvey, the movie Harvey, Jimmy Stewart. If you haven't seen that, you got to see Harvey with Jimmy Stewart. Jimmy Stewart's been is kind of crazy in the movie, but he sees a big tall rabbit that's invisible. But anyway, that's not the point. Someone asked him about himself, and he said, "I've gone through life, and I've realized you have to be ever so smart or ever so kind." I've decided to be kind. We need to be kind, tenderhearted. That's the new self, the new life. Do you look for ways to be kind? Is your first thought compassion? But how can you be compassionate? Look at what Christ did for you. Christ forgave us. He went to the cross and he died for us. And we're miserable, horrible, rotten sinners, and Christ died for us. If you say, well, I can't forgive you, wife, because, you know, you burnt that steak. Christ died for us, miserable, rotten sinners. That's our example. Can we be kind? Can we forgive? Yeah. That's our example. I thought it was funny. I said I'd teach to the end of the chapter. As you can see, verses 1 and 2 of chapter 5 are on the front of the bulletin because they fit. But I won't teach through them. There's even more. Let you go. But read those together with me. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Let that point the way. That's the way we should be living. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that we are your children. Thank you that the old self no longer has control or dominion over us, that you have given us your spirit. We can live for you. Help us to yield to you, yield ourselves to righteousness. Look for ways to just love one another. Be kind. Help us put away the old and live the new. In your name, amen.